Hello, hello, and welcome to Buzzed Binging. My name is Natalie.
And I'm Christy, her mom.
And we're going to be covering, I almost said Game of Thrones, I do not know
no.
why. Umbrella Academy, Season 4, Episode 5, 6 Years, 5 Months, and 2 Days, and Season 4, Episode 6, End of the Beginning.
I think I figured out why you thought it might be Game of Thrones, because it's basically a train wreck at this point. It's kind of like the end of Game of Thrones. Yeah, kind of. But they got there a lot faster with Umbrella Academy. We have, obviously, spoilers. And we have other disclaimers, which include that there will be cursing, and we are having things to drink. What are you having to drink now?
I've been messing around with my blender, and so much like the frozen lemonade I had for the first episode of the season 4, I'm having frozen lemon lime Gatorade.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. I have something that I'm calling Marigold. It is basically mango puree and Prosecco. It is actually quite tasty.
I'm sure it is.
It looks marigold-y. So we're going with that, which is probably the most positive thing I can say about this upcoming episode. Things to look
I know
for.
You hate it.
Oh, yeah.
Let's get into the episode, season 4, episode 5, 6 years, 5 months, and 2 days. There's a montage of Five and Lila searching different timelines and not finding the right one and bonding. Klaus is buried alive. That's all I wrote about that part.
This episode has me having a bunch of notes in all caps, which I may have to interrupt you with periodically.
That's fine.
Some of them are repetitive. Like when they have Five and Lila bonding, I wrote down fall in love. Fuck no! Multiple exclamation points. And you know, Klaus in the coffin, best they can do? ? Really?
Yeah.
And then the next thing they show is Victor and Reginald fighting over the radio in the car. Again, I don't fucking care. I came up with a way to put their names together so it says Veg.
Okay.
I thought that was appropriate because that's about how much I fucking care about watching this. It's like watching vegetables grow or die or whatever. It's terrible.
Anyway, Victor and Reginald, they find the motel and see the destruction. Also, I get that Victor and Reginald have like a combative relationship, but like it's his car. It's Reginald's car. Let him choose the station. That's the driver has the ox. That's the rule.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Exactly.
They find the motel and see the destruction that Jennifer and Ben left behind. Meanwhile, Jennifer and Ben are on the road, and one of the keepers sees them and calls that in. Victor calls Ben and asks about what's going on and how the world will end unless he stays away from Jennifer. Then Luther and Diego get to see the absolute lowest level of the CIA, and Diego doesn't realize it.
They're the highest. They're trying to tell him that it's special ops, and he's like, yeah, it's special ops, and Luther's kind of like, no. Mm-hmm. No, he actually uses the term. He talks about how, no, this is all legs and eggs. It's the Sunday brunch buffet. It's really pretty funny. Mm. That part of it is funny. So, yeah, I'm sorry. Do you want me to take over?
You can if you want to.
So, they are... Luther goes looking for intel because he doesn't want to hang out with the losers in this stupid non-special ops area. Five and Lila talk about taking a break from trying to find their timeline, and they're going to go back to a nice timeline and that has a greenhouse. Oh my God, please no.
It's been 6 years.
Yes, yeah, 6 years, 5 months, and 2 days, in fact. At the King Ridge or Chickadee or whatever the fuck, there's a discussion of the cleanse. They discuss it with the guy who's
named David Crow.
Yeah. We then cut to Klaus, who has chemistry with a ghost dog, and asks the ghost dog to go and find people to help him. Allison and Claire pull up to the drug lair. Allison uses her power to get in. The bad guy, Quinn, hits her with a baseball bat, and that apparently changes her powers, and it makes Allison can make the lights flicker and her eyes glow and shit.
Well, no, she has telekinesis.
Yeah, whatever. Claire, and again, it's asinine. This is bizarre. Claire comes in and tries to attack the guy, and of course she's like this tiny kid and it does nothing. Allison starts having Victor-like powers, explodes the guy's balls with, like, it's just absurd. And here the guy says, "Who are you?" And this is the stupidest line I think in the entire Umbrella Academy. Allison's like, "I'm an actor, motherfucker." Really? Really? That is the best your writers could come up with for this. Are you fucking kidding me? The CIA guy tells Diego, what are the CIA, the loser people, tells Diego he became a stranger to his wife and kids, and he would take it all back to have, you know, time with his family. And he, and where he is now, the file and pile place, is just the place to be because he would have more time for his family. And Diego starts thinking, like, hey. And it becomes clear that they are not an elite unit. And that CIA guy even uses the term Sunday brunch. Like, why? That's not a thing in anything other than the stripper world. But okay. Diego calls home to try to get a hold of Lila, but she's not there. We see Five and Lila in the greenhouse. And I write in all caps, I hate this so much. I hate this storyline. I hate everything about it. The idea of Five and Lila hooking up is just so fucking wrong. They hate each other. They are very different people. Five is not like a settling down kind of guy. It's just, there's so much absurdity to this. And the thing that makes Five cool is that he is that kick-ass dude. He's not the, oh, let's settle down and live in a greenhouse guy. This is horseshit. I fucking hate it. They flirt. They kiss. There's a completely idiotic conversation. Oh, that's weird. Like, completely, like, middle school. It's terrible. Then we see that Jean pulls a gun on Dorky Dude. And I'm got again in all caps, why is this the best storyline? Why is the Jean and Jean storyline the most compelling storyline? We have all of these characters. There's so many characters that you could make a good storyline with, and instead we have this shit. I explain this shit to me.
I can't.
No, it's terrible. There are, I mean, this is the storyline of creepy people with aviator glasses. And this is like the best it gets. Okay, fine. In your last season, Luther tries to go into the director's office, gets caught. He is asked for directions to the bathroom as a distraction. Then he finally breaks into the office. He breaks the filing cabinet on a closed file. The director catches him. And the director and the guys escort Luther to the elevator. And there's a straight up Captain America ripoff fight in the elevator.
I said out loud, I think when we first watched it, he's going to have his Captain America moment.
Yeah, except we don't get to see it. It's
not, no, even, we just hear it.
We hear it. And then at the bottom floor where they're going, you see that he's bested everyone, including the director. The director grabs Luther's pants, which are Velcro stripper pants, and then they rip right off and show his monkey legs.
It's a lot like Job always wearing stripper pants, and he only wears stripper clothes. It's so freaking funny to me.
Job being from Arrested Development, we're just calling back there. Luther runs to get Diego. The director calls a code green and it is on. And that this is like maybe the best sequence because they also have Secret Agent Man, which is like a
totally, it's a fun song.
Perfect song for this fight. Secret Agent Man goes, it's the best song. Diego's shirt comes off. So it's like Diego has no shirt, Luther has no pants. There is a kitty that goes flying. Kitty! Diego staples a guy like Get Smart.
Oh, yeah.
And they think they won, but then a whole bunch more people come in, and Diego and Luther have to grab trench coats. Like, Total Secret Agent Man stuff and run out. The director says nothing will stop the cleanse, so we all realize that, of course, he is a keeper.
Well, we knew that because Luther saw the umbrella tattoo on the guy.
Yeah, true. So. Five and Lila is all I wrote. I don't remember exactly what happened.
He gives her a bracelet that he made. And then Jennifer isn't feeling well. Okay. Five goes to the subway station and finds a diary made by one of his past selves about how to get back, and he doesn't tell Lila. Klaus is struggling, but with help from the ghost of Thunderbolt barking, Allison and Claire free him. He wasn't buried that deep, was he? Mm-hmm. Five eventually tells Lila about the journal he found 5 months ago. And
fuck.
She immediately sobers up and gets angry because she has a family back home and that she's been missing. Five tries to convince her to stay, but she says that none of this is real. It's just survival. That seems more like the Lila we know and not this random, I'm okay with living in a greenhouse with strawberries. It's like, no, you didn't even like suburbia with Diego, like, and kids and things to keep you occupied. You're okay with somewhere with no Wi-Fi and no coffee and only fucking strawberries? And eating squirrels? No,
this is not the characters that we have actually grown attached to. These are like, I don't know, like, it is like the worst version of some 50s sitcom. It is so bad. It's so bad. So
bad. Five tries, then Victor and Reginald get stopped by a wreck in the road and have to take cover when the keepers open fire, but Victor saves Reginald. Reginald gives his approval of Victor. It's like, you should have been part of the team. And that's all that Victor needs to feel better about himself. A good word from this form of his daddy. Jennifer is fading fast, and her and Ben make their way into a bank. They start to glow worse. David Cross turns out to be Reginald's wife in a mask who kills Jean and uses his skin as a mask.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. And brings the other Gene ice cream. Mm-hmm. And then apparently, because Ben and Jennifer or Bennifer have been found, they are trying. I think, you know, there is some sort of weird parallel to the Ben Affleck, Jennifer Garner universe, like making fun of the shipping thing, like, oh, they're taking over the fucking world, whatever. And Gene with a J says, put out the call, play the song, and that's the end of the episode. Mm-hmm. So what were your best parts?
Reginald's energy again. I like this actor a lot. Mm-hmm. Luther and Diego's fight, obviously, it's the best part of the season. Mm-hmm. That's all I wrote down.
I've got Luther and Diego's fight at the CIA. It's kind of with a question mark, Gene and Gene, like, is this good? I can't even really tell because everything else is just so bad. I'm sorry. What were your worst parts?
It all caps Lila and Five.
Oh my God. I have after that.
Yeah. Why did we do that? I'm so confused. Did you think anybody wanted that? Like,
no, I mean, everybody I know who has watched this show has been like, what in the actual fuck?
Exactly. And I mean, they've already built up, and the thing is, like, well, I'll talk about it when we're talking about overall grades, but I'll talk about it now. You've built up this relationship with her and Diego that has spanned multiple seasons at this point. Season 2 in particular was like when you really got to know them, and it's like, obviously she was doing it for like undercover reasons at the time, but obviously
you can see the chemistry.
Yeah, the chemistry was there. They cared a lot about each other. And then she comes back and she lies about being pregnant. She lies about like having his child, and then she's like, oh, by the way, I'm pregnant. It's like, oh, okay, fine. They've always had a dysfunctional relationship, and it's totally fine for them to be having marital problems now. It makes a lot of sense for them to have marital problems given the foundation of their relationship is weird at best. And so that's fine, but like for the final season to just like have her cheat on him is ridiculous to me.
With like, five?
Yeah, so you don't want
anyone to... Five's gonna do that? Like, why would five do this?
I don't know.
It makes no
fucking sense. It looks wrong. It just looks wrong. And I don't think the actor's age gap is like too bad, but regardless, it just looks wrong.
Yeah, I mean, that there is an optical issue with that too, as far as the age gap. But the issue...
Well, that's always going to be an issue with five anyway.
Fair. And, you know, maybe they wanted like, oh, well, let's have five be a leading man rather than just with Dolores the mannequin. Okay.
No, but Dolores was the best relationship he ever had. And I think that throwing that away as well is ridiculous, because it's like, but that's the whole funny part of him. He desperately wanted companionship, but he has no idea how to interact with humans.
Yeah. You know,
like, that's his appeal.
Yes. So just, exactly.
He was alone in the apocalypse for what? Was it 50 years or something?
Yeah, something.
And like, so, like, why are we trying to make him... Oh, normal. I can weld now. That makes a lot of sense for him. However, I'm just like, I don't fucking care. Anyway, moving on. Randomness of Reginald's wife. Like, okay. Sure. We don't know anything about you. We never learned anything about you, even though, like, it was a huge cliffhanger that you were alive at the end of the last season, or that you were on the moon, or whatever. But now you're just back, and we just don't know anything about you, and you just killed David Cross, and you also just killed Ron from Parks and Rec. Like, yeah. Are you kidding? David Offerman is his name. I keep saying Ron,
but he is that guy.
I keep saying Ron, and I think Ron Burgundy, and they have similar facial hair, and so it just doesn't it doesn't work with my brain. So I have to say David Offerman.
Okay. But
either way, yeah. And then Klaus is bullshit. Like, what is this? Why are we wasting this? And also, he was in a coffin for all of this episode, and for what? Like, what did this add? Like. For him to bond with Allison, they don't talk out their issues at all.
No,
they just are like, well, you've saved me now, so it's all good. But the whole point of his argument with Allison was that she has a savior complex, and that he needs it. They didn't want to resolve any issues this season, that clearly. So,
no, they just wanted to make up weird spin off fuck shit. So my worst parts are Bennifer. I hate all of it. All of it. I don't care. Veg, I hate that too. I just, you know, that dynamic, having the two of them paired up, no. Klaus not being used at all. I despise what they've done with that. Allison having extra powers. Like, look, we're at a point where we don't like Allison. Giving her more bitch, it stuff doesn't make her more badass to me. It makes her more dislikable. And we don't need extra reasons to dislike Allison. Like, she needs something that is like redeemable, and she doesn't have it. And of course, Five and Lila. Ah! Can't do it. Can't stand it. What grade did you give this episode?
It's a C- for me.
I gave it a C only because of the CIA fight.
I was going to give it a C because of the CIA thing, but then I realized there was nothing I really liked.
No, you're right. It's a C minus. So, you're correct.
It's a C minus because of the CIA thing. It would have been a D plus if it hadn't been for that. So
yeah,
the cat gave it extra points, but then, yeah. And the G string did a lot, but it wasn't enough.
Hey, if it was a G string without the monkey legs.
Well, we wouldn't want to make the actor uncomfortable.
True. Okay. Sure.
We respect him too much for that. Anyway, season 4, episode 6, End of the Beginning.
Fuck.
The Keepers call their forces into action with the song on the radio. I don't recognize the song.
This is fucking shit. I was hoping for like some real inspirational, like, you know, like whatever, like the rioting song for Beauty and the Beast, something, you know, like get our torches, something.
Imagine if it was the mob song from Beauty and the Beast.
You're just something. It would be hilarious. We have nothing. We have like synthesizer shit that is a stupid song. This crowd gathers with
the one defense.
It's not inspired. It's not inspiring. Going ahead.
The one defense I will give the song choice is that I didn't recognize it, and I don't think it would ever be played on the radio. That's why they know that that's the song.
That's shitty, though.
That no, but it's true. Imagine if you chose, like, Come Together by the Beatles, and, like, that's played on the radio quite a bit, so, like, you would never know if it was a false start. You would just be grabbing your gun for nothing, and so, like,
what's that? To be always ready. It's the Minuteman motto. Come on, you know.
Well, so, whatever.
But anyway. Yeah, this is horseshit. Is uninspired.
How they know where like Ben and Jennifer are, like, is kind of ridiculous to me.
Yeah.
And I don't care.
They all go to the department store.
It's a bank, I thought. Or maybe it is a department store. It's a bank. Who fucking cares?
No.
I kept writing bank. I don't know why. Reginald will let Victor try his way to buy Ben and Jennifer some time. What?
Oh, hang on. You missed the whole Gene and Gene giving a speech thing.
There was probably a reason why.
Right, because it's so bad. Like, they gave this speech about, hey, you know, we're the keepers, blah, blah, whatever. And at this point, because Gene with a G, of course, is the wife embodying Gene, but he uses other curse words, but then says, you effers are going to do whatever. It's like, really?
The same sentence, he says damn and then effers.
Yeah, it's like, no. Actual Gene
is I think it would be funnier if, like, they were people who just didn't curse at all, and they, like, reprimanded people for cursing, and then in their moment of, like, triumph, they do say stuff like effers.
Yeah, that might have been.
But that's not something they've established. Anyway, so Reginald will let Victor try his way to buy Ben and Jennifer some time. Luther and Diego arrive in trench coats. Diego has no appreciation for Lila, and he's hyping Luther up for finding out about the conspiracy theory, the conspiracy stuff. Diego goes home with Luther and sees his kids, and he's missed them and all that stuff. He has no appreciation for his kids. The Genes talk to Victor and Reginald. Why is it that Diego has the most complete arc this season? And that's fairly relevant.
And it's not even a good arc. Diego has had arcs before that were far more interesting to me. So the veg thing, Gene and Gene talk to Veg, and Gene accuses Reginald of misogyny, basically. And it's supposed to be ironic, like, oh, this is his wife accusing him of misogyny, ha ha ha. But it's just not. It's not even funny. It is as close to funny as this episode is going to get, and it's shit. Gene with a G kills Gene with a J with a sword.
With a katana, yes.
Yeah, katana. Well done, Natalie. I'm so proud that you know that. That's good.
You didn't think I knew that?
Well, you know, we have like...
I knew what a garrot was, Mom. You just didn't have faith that I knew what it was called.
It's so disappointing. I'm proud of you about knowing what a katana is. That's excellent. So Gene kills Gene with a sword, a katana. Says that Gene with a J betrayed the movement. You know, this whole
political, I will say,
bullshit thing.
I will say the group being like, but she started the movement. That was funny. That was funny.
Right, but like, then they just realize that
she
whatever.
Started the movement, right? And it's just like, oh, well, yes, but she
just
betrayed
it. With whatever Gene tells them, because we're sheep, you know. I mean, Jesus. But of course, there is some truth to mob mentality, which is what we're seeing.
Lila and Five return to the timeline and go home, where they are greeted by Diego, which is awkward because Diego's very happy to see Lila and has an appreciation for her, whereas she has been cheating on him. Diego promises to amend his behavior. Lila sees her kids. Allison, Claire, and Klaus go to the house. Funny stuff with the shoes off household stuff, like the humor that we've been missing. Of just like little things like, this is a shoes off household. You take off your shoes now. Victor and Reginald hear and what? Hear and Gene dying, and Reginald gives the order that if they get a shot on Ben, take it.
It's actually kind of cute. So the guy who is one of the guys who is working for Reginald tells them that Gene has killed Gene and gutted her like a trout. And this is Reginald's response. Some people just are not cut out for marriage.
Cut out for marriage. That's funny. That actually, anyway, sorry. Yeah, they hear about Jean dying and he says that. Victor goes undercover as a keeper, even though they should have seen him talking to the Jeans earlier. And so this should not work at all, but whatever. Okay. We forgot about what happened 5 minutes ago. Victor almost gets caught trying to sneak inside the building, but he kills a guy really easily and without remorse and breaks in anyway.
Yeah, super obviously. Like, you know, blast the shit out of him. Like, his whole head comes off. It's like, yeah, everyone should have seen that.
Yeah. I mean, think back on, like, how Victor reacted in the first season to, like, even hurting and hospitalizing people. Now he doesn't care. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so Ben is going full Stranger Things season 3 with Jennifer. the family is watching the Nutcracker and wonder about Victor. They have not tried to check in on him at all. Luther reveals to Five that his boss and some agents were keepers. I think Luther says something like, no, Five says something like, you have like, think, and then Luther says, I think you're an asshole. That's funny.
There was so many, I will say this, that prior to those couple of lines, and that's it, you know, you have a group that's sitting there almost silent, not even speaking to each other. This is a group that should have some dynamic, should be asking each other questions, should be doing something. They have established that as their dynamic as a family, and we're getting nothing. And it's not funny, it's not anything, and I'm so disappointed in these writers. They suck. Proceed.
Diego notices the bracelet and figures out Five gave it to her. The family on the couch watch in amazement. Lila tries to explain the situation. He asks if she loves Five, but she doesn't get to answer. There's a new story about Ben and the family sees. Victor tells Ben that Reginald wants to kill him. Ben knocks out Victor when he's scared by the phone. The family get to I keep saying the bank, it's the department store.
They ride in the mystery machine. You've forgotten, like, that is one of the few funny things in this.
And blow their cover with Baby Shark and the brakes failing. The family blink into the bank after an awkward moment with Lila and Five saying that she needs him. Mm-hmm. The sniper has a shot on Ben. Victor starts pulling out the Durango from Ben and gets a vision of a park. The sniper takes the shot and Ben takes the bullet for Victor after Jennifer touches him. Ben and Jennifer start to merge into a big monster, very Stranger Things season 3. Klaus can fly now, I guess. Diego and Vibe start to fight. Allison gets hurt by the monster and gets stuck under rubble. Lila tells Five it's over and he blinks away and she's like, oh no.
Fuck. I'm sorry.
They get Allison out from underneath the rubble. They leave to reassess.
You don't even talk about Diego and Five fighting and how asinine it is. It goes on for way too long. There's a whole bunch of stupid shit. Luther punches the blob in the ass and his hand gets stuck. It's like, this is so...
And there's juvenile. No fun music in the background.
No, there's no fun music. It's shit. Is what it's
so
is.
Low energy.
No, it's and boring. It's awful. Lila and Victor blast the being until they can get Allison as a distraction. They get Luther out, and Allison, they get out from under the thing. You have Five in the subway. I have in all caps, stupid shit. Reginald and
Abigail.
Jean, Abigail, his wife. Sit on a bench. She reveals that she's the wife. She tells Reginald that he acted out of hubris in bringing her back to life because her death was the result of her creating Durango and killing that other world. And, you know, this world has to die because he was being an asshole and creating the Marigold here. And we see another god awful Bennifer bullshit thing. Five and Lila montage to shit music. It's like, the music in this season has been bad, but like this episode, it's your last fucking episode of this show, and you can't do better than this. It's like fucking terrible. Five finds a deli of other fives in a subway station. They talk to each other about how there are a bunch of timelines. They realize that it is the family and the Marigold that has doomed them to destroy the world over and over and over ad infinitum. Five returns to the academy house where everyone has retreated to explain to the family that they need to sacrifice themselves because Marigold created all of the diverse timelines. It looks like Lila is going to go like the, and what they decide to do is they're going to take the kids and put them in a safe timeline. So that, and that includes Claire and Lila and Diego's kids. But Lila's like, no, I'm going with my children. Yes.
I would just like to say, if this plan works, the whole point of it is that it would destroy every other timeline but the original one. So right. Them not being able to go and find the original one, which they weren't able to find for 6 years, like Five and Lila weren't able to find the original timeline in that amount of time. And you think that your children and your in-laws who have no idea what's going on, do you think they're going to find it?
Right. And why would your children exist in the original timeline if you're trying to obliterate yourself?
They wouldn't.
Correct. But no, we are going to ignore all of that shit and pretend that this is going to keep everyone safe. Yeah, sure. So it looks like Lila's going to go with her kids, but she deceives them, puts them on a subway train, tells them she loves them, and runs away. The family and Lila are in a circle in the academy. They're going to, Luther suggests they go around the circle and say something they love about each other. And everyone's like, no, that's shitty. They all power up like their powers are identical. It is just fucking dumb to me that they just let, I have a little glowy thing in my chest. Yay.
It's just up. The Marigold.
You know, is this like Power Rangers?
No, that's just the Marigold speaking to the Durango and like getting it to go into them.
You are actually acting like this is plausible and real, and it's
well, no, it's just they don't have the same powers, but they have the same amount of Marigold in their
system. They don't. Well, okay, whatever. They wait for Bennifer to kill them. They make verbal amends to some extent and hold hands, and some of them do. The blob overtakes them. Klaus says, "I love you all, but you're assholes." And we get some flashbacks to good scenes that we had missed. And
of other timelines.
Yeah, and then we see the park, and they're
I thought I saw.
Go ahead.
Okay, so the kids and the in-laws are in the park somehow. I don't know how they're alive. Like, that makes sense. Claire should not be born. Those twins who don't need to exist. and that other child, they shouldn't be born. Especially them, because they don't have either parent. so the Swedes are there, which is hilarious. The Swedes
are there playing Frisbee. It's hilarious.
I loved that. I don't know why they would all be in the same park, because they are actually Swedish. So I'm not going to question it.
Hazel's there.
Hazel's there with Agnes.
Yeah.
Someone with a baby. I think it's Sloan.
I think it
couldn't be Sloan because
the robot woman.
Oh, Grace.
It's Grace.
You know, it must be Grace.
And the handler's there.
Yeah, the handler's there. Well, no, it shouldn't be Grace. She looked a little bit younger, but because Grace did
Grace
was alive.
Grace from season two from Dallas.
Yeah, but that's from the 60s. This takes place in 2024.
You're acting like the timeline's a real thing.
Anyway, the handler's there. The commission people are there. Like Dot and I forgot the other Herb.
Herb, the little guy.
Cute pictures of the cast and crew while they were filming. And marigolds are blooming. Yay. I don't know what that means. I don't really care.
That's it. That is the entirety of the Umbrella Academy. What were your best parts of this episode?
Seeing all the old characters, the family watching the drama, by figuring out the problem with the other fives in the deli, I suppose, was an interesting enough way of giving us exposition. And Lila in the subway station only because the acting's good.
I will give you that. Lila acting like a parent who's basically lying to her children to keep them safe. That is good acting. I will give that to her. I did not write it down as the best part. In fact, I didn't write anything down as the best part because I hated this episode. I do like the last thing at the end with like flashbacky kinds of things, but I honestly hated so much about this episode. It's just really bad. Well, what were your words?
Lila and Five, body horror. It was a lot of body horror that I wasn't anticipating and did not want to see, but okay. Baby shark. Low energy fight with the monster. Like, no fun song. Like, remember when they did the Backstreet Back All Right mm-hmm. fight?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You remember the crazy cover fight, like, from season 2?
Yes.
And, I mean, there are so many ones that are so memorable. Or, like, Five's first fight, like, in the diner. It's so memorable with Constantinople playing in the background. Mm-hmm. A lot of the early ones are so memorable.
In part because of the music.
Because of the music. And
the tempo, of the great, and that sets the tempo.
Yeah. And I don't know. It's just so much better with music and with good music. The plot hole of the kids and the in-laws making it to the original timeline is ridiculous. Like, I'm sorry. Like, the world's already ending. This world's ending. These people don't exist.
Correct.
I also would like to say another worst part is all the things that we never sorted out. Like, what the fuck about Ray? Like, we never hear about why Ray left or if he just... But we never hear about it. Like, they had the opportunity, and I think I mentioned this at the end of season 3, but you have the opportunity for Allison to have everything that she wants and still not be satisfied. And to feel like there's a void in her life because of her family not being there for her anymore. And I mean, that would be great. That would be an awesome little thing to have. But then they just have her, she isn't happy with her life, but also Ray's not there. Like, I wish instead of the Lila and Diego plot, it was a Ray and Allison plot of like trying to figure out what their relationship is. Cause we already know Lila and Diego. They're dysfunctional, but it works for them. And like it as unhealthy as it may be, they're always going to be there for each other. But no, we had to mess up their relationship and forget. Oh yeah, remember Ray from the end of the last season? Fuck him. We don't know where he is. He left. Who cares? I care. So like, I want Allison to have some comeuppance for the bullshit she pulled last season, and she doesn't apologize to anybody. It's even in the end, she's not like, "Hey, Luther, I'm so sorry." And we get that one flash.
She says sorry to Victor again. It's like, fuck it.
And there is a flash when they're going and looking at all the different timelines. You see like Lila as a drummer in Berlin. You see Diego running like a lunatic on the grassy knoll. You see Luther and Allison doing dancing in the moonlight. Mm-hmm. Which is such a cute sequence, and I loved it from the first season, and I mentioned that when we were there. And again, it's fine if they don't want them to end up together. That's not an issue for me. But you can't ruin their relationship so much and then not resolve it.
Yeah.
That's not good writing.
They did a better job resolving the breakup of Five and Lila, which was garbage.
Which was started and ended in an episode.
Yes.
Yeah, in two episodes, but still.
It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. I don't know. I didn't even write down worst parts, but I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, I'm just saying there's so many other things they could have done where it's like so many other people who could have been in that situation instead of Five and Lila, where it would have served the story more. Like, like treat it like one of those conferences that you go on whenever you and your team aren't getting along, like a team building exercise.
Right.
Like, you need to go in the subway for a year or two and figure out your issues. That would have been perfect for, like, you can have her verbally talk to like Victor. And then you can have her and Luther get paired off somehow. And she can, like, they can resolve their feelings about the fact that he was married and she assaulted him. And they can talk about, like, all of their feelings about, like, having lost loves now. Like, you could have had a great pair off with that. But no, you paired her up with Klaus for some reason. And then they made an adversarial relationship and, like, bullshit. Where, like, Klaus is just apart from the rest of the team. And, like, I mean, there are so many other pairings you could have done, like, paired off in this season. And they tend to do okay at that for the most part. Like, again, if you pair anybody up with Klaus, like, it's fine. It's good. But I feel like, Allison and Klaus were paired off in season two. So you didn't really need them to be paired up again. Like, you could have paired off Klaus with Diego and make him appreciate life a little bit better and be like, well, you can't be overly cautious, but you also can't be overly, you can't be like completely reckless or something. I mean, it's just anything. There are so many lessons to be learned and they didn't learn a single one of them. Right. It's so disappointing. And they introduced these new characters like we care. Like, I think that the Gene and Gene thing was not a bad idea. I think the Mandela or umbrella effect that they put into place, it makes a lot of sense. Like, the timelines are merging. That's a fun, like, ticking clock in a way. But the whole thing, like, and again, finding out about the Ben and Jennifer thing is fine. But having it happen now, and having it happen to a Ben we don't care about, and having these pair offs that make no sense. Again, I think Luther and Diego worked really well together. I think they were the best dynamic of this entire season, but they didn't give Luther anything to do individually. Diego had an arc, but then his wife cheated on him and ruined it. And then, so what was the point of that? And then you have, it's just so messy, so messy. But you see what I mean? Like, there were opportunities here, and I don't think that all of their ideas, their general ideas, were bad, but the Lyle and Five was never going to work for me. And no matter what they wanted to do with that, I don't know what the goal was for that one, but it did not work for me. It's
fucking terrible.
If you wanted a nice moment, have him pair up with Dolores again or something. I don't know. Like, have him go to that timeline and be like, Dolores! It's like something. Yeah. Like, you had a joke about it last season. Let him continue that. Anyway.
So here's my, I didn't write down worst parts, but I think one of the worst parts I have, and it's season life. Of course, we're going to talk about how we rank the seasons, but.
Oh, we already know, but yeah.
Yeah, we do know. And in fact, weirdly, never mind. I'll get to that. But the biggest issue I have with this season is you have them caring about this Ben and Jennifer thing when no one has an attachment to Ben. And so, you know, like, they're holding back, I guess, in this low energy, stupid ass fucking fight with Bennifer. And ever had, like, I mean, there is absolutely no basis for them to give this much of a shit about Ben, and to be that sensitive to, like, oh, we have to treat him right because he's one of us. Like, he's not one of you, you know, and he's proven that over and over and over again. So I felt like the premise of this season was poor. The Five and Lila thing is so left field bad that I feel like they completely lost the point of why this show was good. And, you know, and then you throw in, oh, the soundtrack sucks. Jeez. So yeah, there was nothing good, nothing redeemable to me, except that the flashbacks right at the end. What was your grade for this episode?
C.
I gave it a D minus. I thought about giving it an F. You know how I gave an F to the last episode of The Crown season 5?
You did.
I thought about it.
I think it's a C for me because I think that at least the family's together and not completely. Okay, well, this is my opinion. But the family at least have a few funny moments together, like Luther being like, I think you're an asshole. Or like, I don't know, just them at least interacting with each other more than they have all season, really. And I mean, that's better. I don't know. I'm trying to make excuses here. I think that in general, the idea that it ends with them dying makes a lot of sense to me. Like, they're the cause, and so they have to die. I think that's how it was going to end regardless. And so they didn't completely fumble the ending in that sense of, right. Like, well, that makes a lot of sense. They're not just going to make another bullshit way out of it or whatever. And so I think that that is fair. And so, yeah, I can't say it's the worst episode of this season, in my opinion. I don't think all right, that's your opinion, Mom.
It is.
But I think last episode was worse. But I think in general, they at least try to have some emotional moments, but not with the characters we want them to. Because like we have this emotional thing with Claire and Allison, which is a dynamic we've never cared about, really. They've wanted us to care about it for a long time, but I cared about it kind of in season one, just because Allison was trying, it was a custody battle thing, and it was easy enough to be invested in. But then like for the rest of it, it's just like, okay, well, I don't care about Claire. Like, I'm sorry, you can't make me care. And it's not like Allison and Claire, well, I mean, I guess they're close. It doesn't matter. Either way, I just think that the ideas there were not the absolute worst, but there were some that really just ruined it for me. And the lack of enthusiasm that I sensed was disappointing, considering it was a last hurrah of a show that started out really good.
Yeah, I mean, right. And so the reason
I might give it a C-.
The reason I felt like this is a D-minus episode is because, aside from the very last like scene in the park where you get some flashbacky kinds of things, nothing about this last episode was appealing to me. Like, the family dynamics were badly written, and that was not, it was never true before, that the sibling dynamics were so poorly written. It was bad. And I don't feel like, it's not a question of whether the resolution was plausible, like, oh, hey, y'all need to die. Okay. But then you are able to save people. It's like, oh, come on. You know, it was tired. It was not well written. I just don't. And the soundtrack sucked on top of everything else. So yeah, now I just don't feel like this was a good episode at all. Obviously, and I'm going to just say this up front, my ranking of the season is 1, 2, 3, 4.
So is mine.
It's just not been good for a while.
Yeah, I actually will keep it at a C, because I do think the other episode was worse. That's my opinion. But yeah, it's 1, 2, 3 for me. 4. I almost forgot. And honestly, that's probably for the best. But as far as, if I were to recommend The Umbrella Academy, I would definitely recommend season one. Yeah. I think that it had a lot of fun, original ideas. Well, original as in based off comic books, but regardless. Fun fight choreography, some cool, just general ideas that I thought were really cool. But they kind of got tired at the end, and that's disappointing. So,
yep, I'm kind of with you. So we have things to look forward to. We've been talking about doing Agatha Christie movies. We've been talking about doing Arrested Development. We still have a few of those Julia Quinn books out there to review. So we are hoping that we can get all of this done. We are hoping that you join us. And
cheers.